Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Thank goodness it's folk. Every Friday, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and worldwide at www.sheffieldlive.org.
Where the dazzlies are followed.
In 1649, to St George's Hill, a ragged band they called the Diggers came to show the people's will. They defied the landlords, they defied the laws. They were the dispossessed, reclaiming what was theirs. We come in peace, they said, to dig and sow. We come to work the lands in common and to make the waste grounds grow. This earth divided, we will make whole. So it will be a common treasury for all. The sin of property we do disdain. No man has any right to buy and sell the earth for private gain. By theft and murder they took the land. Now everywhere the walls spring up at their command. They make the laws to chain us well. The clergy dazzle us with heaven or they damn us into hell. We will not worship the God they serve, the God of greed who feeds the rich while poor men starve. We work, we eat together, we need no swords. We will not bow to the masters or pay rent to the lords. We are free men, though we are poor. Diggers all stand up for glory, stand up now. From the men of property, the orders came. They sent the hired men and troopers to wipe out the diggers' claim, tear down their cottages, destroy their corn. They were dispersed, but still the vision lingers on. You poor take courage, you rich take care. This earth was made a common treasury for everyone to share. All things in common, all people one. We come in peace, the orders came to cut them down.
Billy Bragg singing Leon Russellson's The World Turned Upside Down. Welcome to a special hour celebrating the life of Leon Russellson, one of the greatest songwriters in the English language, and who turned 90 on the weekend. Happy birthday, Leon, from Thank Goodness It's Folk and from all of our listeners. We've got some brilliant songs by Leon Russellson for you in this half, and we're going to be talking to three people who are great friends of Leon and lovers of his writing and influenced by his writing, all songwriters themselves. Rob Johnson, Sandra Kerr and Nancy Kerr, and they're all choosing some of their favourite Leon songs for you as well. So much to look forward to in this half of Thank Goodness It's Folk. And let's hear now from Leon Russellson himself.
In the stacked and squalor of a shanty town, a woman is singing. She cannot read, she cannot write her name, but the voice that lives inside her makes her strong. It calls a thousand other voices into song. It breaks the sullen silence of the sky. It wakes the ragged children who must scavenge to survive, and shakes the soundproof citadel where paper deals are made, a world away with a warning. Before the squads of armoured cars and uniforms, the children are singing. They face the clubs, the tear gas and the guns, with their voices and the vision that they share. The song that blossoms in the dry land of despair, it mocks the power of the death machine. It sparks beneath the earth a fire raging to be free, and rocks the mighty mausoleum walls where laws are made, a world away with a warning. Above the razor wire, round the missile base, a small bird is singing. The soldier cursing the insistent voice marks its flight, takes careful aim, and then lets fly, and sees exploding feathers tumble from the sky. Yet still the startled soldier hears it rise, that trilling, surging song that fills the hollow of the sky and filters through the bunker walls where battle plans are laid, a world away with a warning. Where the dawn and darkness meet out at the bleakness of defeat, when there's no choice but to refuse, when there is nothing left to lose. Voices defy the profitable deals that buy the power to turn the wheels, that speed the line, that clear the way and raise whatever doesn't pay. Voices defy the club, the batten round, the riot squad, the killing ground, the legalized injustices, the law that sanctifies what is. Voices defy the death mask on the face, the barbed wire around the missile base, the solemn calculated lie, the patriotic battle cry. Voices, can we be silent when we hear those voices call upon the unique voice that lives inside us all?
Come to the market and sample an orgy. Come to the fair for a threepenny thrill. Sell him a tomb or a tumbler of strychnine. If you don't, there's plenty of others that will. If you don't, there's others that will. What shall we do with the ugly ones, the ones who have nothing to sell? The failures, the fumbling, muddly ones, who never do anything well, who never remember their name or number, and lose their place in the queue. And what can you do for the ugly ones, when they can't do a thing for you? Roll up, roll up to the mechanized peep show. Bow down in the temple of lust. What am I bid for the lips of a bardo? And Anita's marvelous, marvelous bust. And Anita's marvelous bust. But what shall we do with the ugly ones, who just haven't got what it takes? Whose breasts won't boost the market in charms, or win the nobility stakes? Whose legs won't sustain the ad man's campaign, or front the glamour parade? And no one invests in the ugly ones, the ones who won't make the grade. Dress yourself smart for the pacesetter's party. Dance to the swing of the trendsetter's call. The prince is cool in an Aston Martin. Iron Cinderella, she's the belle of the ball. Cinderella's the belle of the ball. But what shall we do with the ugly ones? The crippled, the sick and the old. who haven't got anything left to do but shroud themselves off from the cold. Give them a penny, they haven't any. It's time for the charity game, but we can't change the rules for the ugly ones, and nobody here's to blame. The moth-eared midget is starting to fidget. Soon it'll be his turn to go. The flesh and the fur are starting to stir. Hurry up, dear, or we'll miss the show. Be quick or we'll miss the show. But what shall we do with the ugly ones? The freaks with nothing to sell. The stupefied, stunted, shell-shocked ones in their halitosic hell. They can't stand the pace of the status race or cash in on the rush to rebel. And there's nothing to do for the ugly ones, the ones with nothing to sell.
Roy Bailey with Martin Carthy on guitar, singing the classic Leon Russellson song, The Ugly Ones, from Roy's album, What You Do With What You've Got. And before that, we heard Leon himself singing his brilliant song, Voices, from his album, Bringing the News from Nowhere. I'm James Fagan, and today on Thank Goodness It's Folk, I'm celebrating the 90th birthday of dear Leon Russellson, still alive and well in London. And I'm about to talk to Rob Johnson, who is a brilliant writer in his own right, and is also the organiser of Leon's Birthday Bash, a big concert happening in Ealing at Questor's Theatre on the 28th of July. I'll let Rob tell you all about it. I caught up with him from a taverna. I think he was having his breakfast or his coffee in the sunshine in Greece. So here, in live from Greece, Mr. Rob Johnson.
Hello.
Hello, Rob.
Hello, James.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very nicely, thank you. The sun's shining. And, I'm a very nice Greek coffee, so I'm doing very nicely, thank you. And I'm not in, I suppose the best thing is I'm not actually in the UK at the moment enjoying the ritual handing over of their liberal elite.
So. Well, you're not missing much on the debate front, I can tell you. Rob, you've been as excited as myself and Nancy about the ripe age of 90 years old, Leon Russellson, incredible writer. His legacy is enormous, but he's still very much alive and well. And it's delightful that you are organising a concert for Leon's 90th birthday. It's on July the 28th at the Questors Theatre in Ealing. Tell us about why you wanted to do this concert and what it means to you.
Well, in a way, it means a lot because Leon is a very dear friend, and as a songwriter, I think he's exemplary. And as a songwriter, anybody who writes songs can only be in awe of Leon's command of the genre. He is the colossus of English songwriting. But also, I'm lucky enough to say, I think he's my friend, and he's such a damn fine human being. So, for a damn fine human being to reach the age of 90, certainly. With all his achievements, it was certainly well worth celebrating. But I mean, I was kind of delegated by Sheila Miller to do this. She called me up last year. Sheila runs the Cellar Upstairs Folk Club. She said, "You know, see, it's Leon's 90th birthday next year." I said, "Yes." She said, "Well, we ought to have a concert, shouldn't we?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "Well, I haven't got time to organise it. You should do it." And I always think it's never a very good idea to put me in charge of organising anything. But I seemed to be like there was nobody else. So I got very excited. I thought because Leon is 90, so I think we need to take into account the realities of travel because he lives in Wembley. So I was looking for somewhere near Wembley. The Tricycle Theatre that Leon used to work with for many years didn't have the courtesy even to respond when I asked them if they would host the event, so I kind of ruled them out. But the Questors are great. We did Murder at the Grange there last December. They were a delight to work with. It's easily accessible, both in terms of mobility issues and in terms of access from public transport, and indeed in terms of parking. So they were very responsive, and I'm very happy that we're having the event there.
Fantastic. Rob, tell us about who's going to be involved.
Well, who isn't, darling? Well, unfortunately, Nancy can't make it. I was going to say Nancy was my first choice of person I'd like to be there because I know she's done an album of Leon's songs. And
that's
I wanted to be able to show that, you know, Leon is not just a legend, but he is a continuing, he has contributed a voice that will continue to the great stream of what we largely label English folk music. Mm. So I thought Nancy would represent that, the persistence in a very real sense of Leon's work. But obviously she can't make it, so it's largely the Anti-Capitalist Roadshow reformed for one afternoon. Frankie Armstrong, Sandra Kerr, Chris Foster, David Campbell, Ian Saville will be doing some magic. Martin Simpson's doing a couple of songs. Janet Russell and Jim Woodland. Boff from Chumbawamba. Reem Kalani. Liz Mansfield. And me. And, of course, Leon. Leon is definitely doing two songs. Because there's so many people. It's about 10 minutes. That's your lot off. I have to get a hook. You know, one of those old hooks. Right. Off you. Yep. Off you come, Martin. Come on. Too much twiddling.
To be absolutely honest, it sounds like the folk event of the year, and I can't believe it's not already sold out. But there are a couple of tickets left. The Questors Theatre has a fantastic website. People can find out more about it there. Rob, on a personal note, congratulations on Penny Pot Lane. It's a lovely retrospective of some of your most popular songs. I believe you have had a few launch gigs for it already. I hope they went well.
Yes, it's been lovely, and actually I've really enjoyed revisiting the back catalogue. So I've enjoyed it, and audiences seem to be enjoying it as well. So wow, a win-win.
Absolutely, Rob. Is there a particular Leon song I can play for you on Thank Goodness It's Folk today?
I think so many. Palaces of Gold.
Absolutely excellent choice. And, you know, so many people have recorded Palaces of Gold, but I still love to hear Leon sing it himself. So I think we'll have Leon himself sing it. Rob, enjoy your time in Greece. I'm sorry we won't be there on the 28th of July, but I know it's going to be a sellout show, and people should get along to see a celebration of Rosselson's 90th birthday, including Leon himself. Rob, thanks for your time. Yeah. Enjoy Greece.
James, thank you.
And we'll see you when you get back.
See you later, mate.
Bye.
If the sons of company directors and judges' private daughters had to go to school in a slum school, dumped by some joker in a damp back alley, had to herd into classrooms cramped with worry, with a view onto slag heaps and stagnant pools, had to file through corridors grey with age and play in a crackpot concrete cage. Buttons would be pressed, rules would be broken, strings would be pulled, and magic words spoken. Invisible fingers would mould palaces of gold. If prime ministers and advertising executives, royal personages and bank managers' wives had to live out their lives in dank rooms, blinded by smoke and the foul air of sewers, rot on the walls and rats in the cellars, in rows of dumb houses like mouldering tombs, had to bring up their children and watch them grow in a wasteland of dead streets where nothing will grow. Buttons would be pressed, rules would be broken, strings would be pulled, and magic words spoken. Invisible fingers would mould palaces of gold. suggesting any sort of a plot. Everyone knows there's not. But you unborn millions might like to be warned that if you don't want to be buried alive by slag heaps, pitfalls and damp walls and rat traps and dead streets, arrange to be democratically born the son of a company director or a judge's fine and private daughter. Buttons will be pressed, rules will be broken, strings will be pulled, and magic words spoken. Invisible fingers will mould palaces of gold.
Voice of Janet Russell singing one of my favourite Leon Russellson songs, the very powerful Song of the Olive Tree. and I took that from they all sang Rossall songs, a wonderful compilation of other singers who've been inspired by Leon to record covers of his wonderful writing. Well, a colleague of Janet Russell's is my mother-in-law, Sandra Kerr, and they worked together in Sisters Unlimited. And I caught up with Sandra this morning about some of her thoughts about Leon on the occasion of his 90th birthday, and she had a special surprise for me as well. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning, James.
Thank you for taking part in my little tribute today. I'm sure there have been many made and there are many to come, but we're celebrating Leon Rosselson's 90th birthday on the program today, and I'm going to be playing some of my favourites, some of Nancy's favourites, and some of the favourites of some of the people I've spoken to. I've spoken to Rob Johnson this morning already, who is organising the 90th birthday bash that you're taking part in, as well as some of your favourite contemporaries, including Frankie Armstrong, and that led me to my first question for you, which is that as young women singers on the folk scene when you started working with Leon, what was the impact of his writing on you and Frankie coming from a female perspective?
Well, to be honest, it was a huge relief. It was just so good to have songs that were contemporary, that felt represented what we felt, what we cared about, and so on, and that were so articulate and so beautifully written, and such great music to sing. I mean, all of those things. But yes, a sense of relief, I think, is the main feeling. You kind of go, oh, I don't have to write about that. He's done it so beautifully.
What is it about Leon Rosselson that allows him, do you think, apart from being a genius, allows him to to inhabit other people's stories and other people's lives? Because at the heart of it, I think, there are many labels that could be put on his writing, but the one that strikes me is compassion and humanity. What is it about Leon that allows him to get inside those characters, including people from other backgrounds to himself?
I think that's a really interesting question. Yes, just pure human compassion is one of those things, but we can all have that and not necessarily turn it into art.
Yeah.
And I think that sums it up. I came across this phrase quite recently, and it's not verbatim, it's kind of my remembrance of it. But, you know, when you turn pain into art, then you're doing something with it. You know, we can all feel huge compassion and, tenderness and anger and all those things. But they're worth nothing if they just kind of moulder away or just whirl around inside us. But with Leon, he turns them into something very positive, even when his songs don't necessarily have a positive outcome. The fact that he's expressed something which he feels and we feel deeply about, I think is enormous. And that's, for me, that's key to what Leon does. You know, everything he's written is, you can feel, even the funniest songs as well, you can feel that he's been there, he knows we've been there, he's not just going to leave it at that, he's going to let everybody know we've been there with his writing.
You mentioned Leon's humour. That's a key part of his effectiveness, isn't it, as a performer and a writer?
It is for me, I have to say. I mean, I hope people don't run away with the idea that he is just a huge intellect and a great wordsmith and musician, and so on. That's very true and core to what he is. But also, he can just make you laugh out loud when you don't know you're going to laugh out loud. And that's absolutely marvellous. God, if we need that, if we need it now, we've always needed it, but we need it now more than ever. And that's great. I would like people to remember, well, God, we're talking about, he's not here and he's damn well jolly well here.
Exactly.
At 90.
Well, I was just saying, I was saying to Rob how lovely it is that Leon himself will be at his own 90th birthday celebration.
Absolutely.
And I can't imagine there'll be a seat left in the house. There's a few tickets left, Sandra, but tell me what you're looking forward to saying to Leon directly when you see him on the occasion of his 90th. What are you going to let him know? I mean, obviously, you'll have some personal messages which are not fit for here, which are between you and him, but what's the general gist of what you want him to know from you on his birthday?
Well, could I sing a verse or two of what I would say to Leon, what I will say to Leon? Look at our friend Leon, isn't he a wonder? Scares the ruling classes by making up them songs. Makes you feel much stronger when life is such a worry. It's full marks for our Leon, always righting wrongs. Because, boy, he's the best. Yes, he is a force of nature. We're proud to confess he's our brother. His words, they are his weapons. His melody's sublime, though. Always hits his target, a planet for a brain. All human life exploring and never, ever boring. 1 minute he has you weeping, then laughing like a drain. Because, boy, he's the best. Yes, he is a force of nature. We're proud to confess he's our brother. Last verse. But what's come over Leon, going to have a birthday? 90 years, they tell me, surely that is wrong. Clever, novel, truthful, perennially youthful. Go on till you're 100, or I'll ruin another's song. Because, boy, you're the best. Yes, you are a force of nature. We're proud to confess you're our brother.
Absolutely fantastic. And people, how lucky are you to have Sandra Kerr singing her song for Leon on the occasion of his 90th birthday. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Sandra. And I can't wait. I cannot wait for the world to hear that on the show tomorrow. Sandra, I'll let you get on with your day, but would you like to choose? I know there are so many favourites of Leon's, but
if you could
pick a song for today's program that you love.
Okay. Well, I talked about how he just makes you laugh. I mean, I'm sure loads of other people will choose his more earnest material, some of his more earnest material, and quite rightly, you know. But I'm just going to choose something that makes me laugh, although it does have a point, and I think it illustrates that thing about he's been there and we've been there and we're all going to know about it. I'd like you to play All You Need.
Perfect choice. Thank you. Have a lovely day, Sandra.
Have a great program, James. Thank you. Bye.
Anyway, this is a song which dates back to those innocent days of love and flowers, which you may remember, I don't know. And all you needed were the simple things in life. And I wrote this chorus as I was... Yeah, something like that, wasn't it? All you need is a sunflower seed, a rainbow dream, a crystal stream. That's all you need. Hand in hand, standing on the bridge at sunrise, listening to the water, looking into each other's eyes. A wave of pigeons rose over our heads and circled the air. And love, love, oh love was everywhere. Trying to find the words that would envelop the birds into the tenderness of the moment. Love is like a bird, I was about to rap, so dies. Love can fly. When the pigeons forestalled me and we suddenly found ourselves the innocent victims of an aerial bombardment. And as the morning broke, I pondered on the old Chinese proverb that said that love was not all that fell from the sky. And all you need is a sunflower seed, a rainbow dream, a crystal stream, that's all. That's all you need. Except for the automatic, telescopic, rot-proof, shock-proof, shit-proof umbrella. afloat in a boat on the lake with my cheek against hers in the usual way. She wore in her hair the flower petals slightly faded I'd offered her earlier that day. And the view was breathtaking, mountains and forests as far as the eye could see. They're not quite so romantic as the photos in the travel brochure, perhaps because of the chilly ache numbing my left knee. And when we saw the small black cloud moving towards us, she turned pale and murmured something about malaria. I rode for the shore, the flower died, and the fierce foreign blood-sucking insects flew in for the kill. And by the time we reached land, she was beginning to look like a one-woman ecological disaster area. And my jocular references to love bites met with a distinct chill. And all you need is a sunflower seed, a rainbow dream, a crystal stream, that's all. That's all you need. Except for the giant-sized tube, pleasant and easy to use insect repellent, and the automatic telescopic, a rot-proof, shock-proof, shit-proof umbrella. After the wine and the passionate experimental kisses, we made love by candlelight. It was one from the erotic manuals, a real perfume garden of delight. So when I saw the anguished expression on her face, I knew it was the language of ecstasy. Until she moaned between clenched teeth, my legs paralysed in its agony. I love you, I cried, she sighed. I tried to concentrate my mind on my mission. It's a severe case of muscle cramp, she said. And I said we might have been better off watching MASH of the Day. And I remember thinking we wouldn't have been in that position if we hadn't have been in that position. By the time I decontracted her leg muscles, the candles were out and we seemed to have lost our way. And all you need is a sunflower seed, a rainbow dream, a crystal stream, that's all. That's all you need. Except for the handy little bottle of universal embrocation, relieves muscle congestion and activates the circulation. And the giant-sized tube of pleasant and easy-to-use insect repellent, and the automatic telescopic, a rot-proof, shock-proof, shit-proof umbrella.
At school, they said he'd never make the grade. He was living in a kipper-colored dream. Barney ought to learn to concentrate, his teachers used to say, as he drifted in the bottom stream. Barney was a waster, got no bits of paper, ended up attending a machine, turning little piggies into plastic package sausages to sell in the heliport canteen. Barney seemed to lack ambition, didn't hear tomorrow call, didn't want the overtime for extra pay. He just left his limbs to labor as he donned his uniform, and his mind was floating freely far away. Press, turn, screw, lift, early shift and late shift, always the same routine, turning little piggies into plastic package sausages to sell in the heliport canteen. It was on one summer's evening, Barney crossed from work to home with a tube of twisted metal that he'd found. And he stuck it in the garden like a broken totem pole, and he planted piles of pebbles all around. That boy's no use, must have a screw loose, thinks his bit of metal's gonna grow. Barney felt the silence in his head begin to melt, and in his heart a spark of laughter seemed to glow. And Barney's game became a passion, all the free time that he had, he was in the garden marking out a space, piecing things together with devotion in his hand and a sweet seraphic smile on his face. Mother said you can't know, father said you can't know, litter in our little bit of lawn. What are we gonna do with him? Why can't he be normal? He's been troubled since the day that he was born.
every day he brought home something. He was nicking things from work, picking up what other people threw away. Cans and kettles, boots and bottles, all the refuse of the earth he assembled in a giant junk display. Copper wire, car tires, plastic pots and broken mops, worn out wheels and one old water tank. What a silly game to play, what a waste of effort. He'd do better if he went and robbed a bank. Now look at Barney's weird contraption, high on iron girder legs, reaching steel and tin can feelers to the sky. As it wobbles in the breezes, its Felicia beacon head seems to nod and wink at all the passers-by. Every day he'd do a bit, every day he'd grew a bit, sprouting like a jungle in the rain. And the neighbours watched in horror as his multicoloured monster escaped from his loony bin brain. Barney's work began to waver, he was failing his machine. The foreman said he wasn't giving of his best. And so the job enrichment expert analyzed his working speed and devised a scheme to give him added zest. It was press turn, screw lift, early shift and late shift, always the same routine. But turning twice as many piggies into plastic package sausages to sell in the heliport canteen. Barney's folly, nay, to the neighbours, was disfiguring the street, and there was baying from the purity crusade. And the careful ants informed him that the bylaws had been breached, while the blowflies buzzed round every move he made. Watch out, Barney! Special branch after you, got you fully photographed and filed. Officialdom is closing in, oblivious of everything. Barney builds as happy as a child. Well, it was on one winter's morning, Barney worked the early shift, when inspectors came with agents of the law. They dismantled Barney's monster, dumped it on the council tip, left the garden neat and tidy as before. Home comes Barney, can't believe his eyes to see space where his creation once held a sway. Shadows seem to fall on him, silence seems to swallow him. Frightened Barney turns and runs away. Now they say that Barney scavenges the scrap heaps of the town, doesn't answer to his name, and no one knows why he wants to throw his life away, just wandering around, making crazy patterns everywhere he goes. And still it's press, turn, screw, lift, early shift and late shift, always the same routine. Turning little piggies into plastic package sausages to sell in the heliport canteen. And it's press, turn, screw, lift, early shift and late shift. Other hands are working his machine and turning twice as many piggies into plastic package sausages to sell in the heliport canteen. And no one knows why he wants to throw his life away, just wandering around, making crazy patterns everywhere he goes.
Great traditional singer Chris Foster, who also loves the songwriting of Leon Russellson and is a huge advocate of Leon's writing to this day. And that comes from Chris's album Traces, and it was Barney's epic Homer. Well, somebody in my own household is one of the greatest Leon Russellson fans to ever live as well, and her name is Nancy Kerr, and I caught up with her this morning too. Well, here's somebody I don't need to talk to over the telephone because we live in the same house, and I'm very happy to be talking to Nancy Kerr about Leon on the occasion of his 90th birthday. Nancy, Leon's been part of your life from the beginning of your life, from his, your earliest memories. He's always been part of your social and musical network. Why did you decide in 2020, I think it was, to record a whole album of Leon's songs?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, his brilliance speaks for itself. So I think that I've always wanted to sing his songs and to sing more of his songs. I'm not really sure what the motivation was at that point, other than a lot of us were looking for some, you know, meaningful creative output as well. You know, I mean, I often say I wanted to do something artistic and to, you know, challenge myself. But actually, what I really, I think, wanted to do was do all of those things, but with a repertoire that is, you know, that was insightful and that says something about today and has, you know, and has been insightful, political, you know, since the beginning.
In your duo show with me at the moment, you're performing a duo of songs, the first by Leon, which is The Ant and the Grasshopper, and then you go into your own song, Dark Honey, and you're telling audiences in your introduction to that, that you're not sure that you would write the kind of songs you wrote if it weren't for him. Can you be more specific about what his writing has done in terms of influencing your own?
Yes, exactly. I mean, when I started singing the songs, you discover more about the songs from within, obviously. You listen to them on one level, but then when you play and sing them, you uncover more about their structure and their making. And it was actually for a little article I did called Under the Influence for Rock and Reel for R&R magazine, where I talked about that project and I talked about and unpacked, you know, the fact that I didn't just learn the songs. I realised how much I'd been almost sometimes subliminally and then other times obviously consciously influenced by how Leon appears to put a song together. So things like my song Queen of Waters, which is just a nice little summary song about the canals, has a really, what I would say, a quite Rosselson-esque structure, and even a couple of phrases, you know, I use the phrase an ant grasshoppering, which is clearly influenced by Leon's Ant and the Grasshopper, and the same with Dark Honey, and just the way that he phrases particular thoughts and the way that he will, I think, really fluently, I'm not saying I do it fluently, but he, you know, that the aim is to fluently go between thoughts, between light and dark, and between stories, because that's what Leon's about. He's about telling a story more than anything, and that's how the insight kind of comes about. And so, yeah, I just realised how very deeply influenced by him I had been, because, as you say, I've been listening to his songs my entire life.
A lot of people have been talking about how much they love his writing. What do you like about Leon as a performer?
I think one thing that people are reminded of when they see Leon live is just how incredibly warm he has always been as a performer. And I think that it's very easy to kind of stereotype people who write about current events, people who write politicised material or material with a class consciousness or whatever. I think it's easy, and I think the right do this a lot, to stereotype those people as kind of cold or strident. I've been called strident just for singing faintly the whiff of a political song, you know. They can't wait to say that. And that is so far from what Leon is. Again, that kind of investment in people's stories, and that the way that you change people's minds, or the way that you awaken people to thinking more empathically about whatever it is, whatever struggle you might be covering, you know, is stories. Leon does that, but he's also just warm and funny and just incredibly inviting. And you kind of have to be, I think, when you're that good, because the other thing I love about his performance is that he's a fantastic musician, you know, and this isn't about purely his songwriting existing for other people to carry. You know, we do always, of course, love the voices of those people who've been associated with putting his repertoire out there. We love them deeply. You know, not least Roy Bailey, but Leon singing a Leon song will still be my favourite thing to listen to, because it is a characterful voice. It's a voice I know so well. It's like a member of the family, and his guitar playing is, you know, extraordinary. And as I've said to you before, very much part of the makeup of the songs. He's a composer as well as a lyricist, and those things are completely close to the surface when he plays and accompanies his own songs.
Unfortunately, we are not available to go down to his birthday bash, but Rob Johnson's just been telling us about how brilliant it's going to be.
Yeah, it'd be fab.
What would you say to Leon if you were with him today about reaching the age of 90? What would your birthday message be?
Oh, well, I mean, I just sent him love and you know, hoping that he not just has a, you know, a good day and many more, but that he does feel that appreciation from all of us in different ways. It's hard not to, it's hard to pitch it, right? I never want to be kind of you know, to at Leon, because I know I did spend quite a lot of time intensively sort of, obviously, like, uncovering his work, trying to get to the bottom of it, but I don't like to hassle him too much either. So, you know, I try not to be too much of a fangirl. I think, you know, although I am sad that we won't be there for the big celebration, I also think, you know, this is a collective effort, and this is never about one person apart from Leon Russellson. So I think that's fine. I feel like I've given, you know, lots of my appreciation through my playing, and you and I continue to play his songs, as you say. So it will be lovely to see that collective, which is still significant, of his contemporaries and other younger players and appreciators, really make a fuss of him on that day. But yeah, we love him and we love his work.
Brilliant. Thanks for talking to us. And I've asked you to pick one track from your album of Leon's songs, which is called The Poor Shall Wear the Crown, and people can find that on Bandcamp. What song have you picked for us and why?
I think Bringing the News from Nowhere. I haven't had this played out very much. It's one of my favourites. And I think it's about the arts and crafts movement, and it's about the you know, William Morris as a political figure as well, very much what we're talking about, arts and politics and how they're tied up. And I think the country at the moment seems to think that art is irrelevant, especially to ordinary people and especially to any kind of struggle. So I think this is a good, beautiful song to counteract that.
Some bring the news in a sermon on the mountain, and some bring the news in a blueprint or a bulletin. But I like those who come with the passion of a vision, like a child with a gift, like a friend with a question. William Morris was one. In a story, in a song, in the patterns that he wove, in the colours that he loved, in the hope that he gave, he brought the news from nowhere. In my mind's eye, I can see him still standing, with his grey beard waving like the foam of the sea, with his shaggy hair shaking and his clear eyes shining as he tells all who listen how different life could be. And he rages at the wealthy with their mutilated vision, making money the measure of everything they do, and the ugliness that kills, and the lies that are broken on the wheels that turn for the profits of the few. Some bring the news in a sermon on the mountain, and some bring the news in a blueprint or a bulletin. But I like those who come with the passion of a vision, like a child with a gift, like a friend with a question. William Morris was one. In a story, in a song, in the patterns that he wove, in the colours that he loved, in the hope he gave and brought the news from nowhere. He turned from his class and he made the lonely journey to the river of fire, and when he reached the other side, he joined the ones who had nothing, the poor and the hungry, and their cause was his till the day that he died. For he saw that in them a spark lay hidden, and he saw that in them a hope still burned for the great change coming, when the shoddy rule of mammon would be shattered like a hull that the storm has overturned. And some bring the news in a sermon on the mountain, and some bring the news in a blueprint or a bulletin. But I like those who come with the passion of a vision, like a child with a gift, like a friend with a question. William Morris was one. In a story, in a song, in the patterns that he wove, in the colours that he loved, in the hope that he gave, he brought the news from nowhere. When our desires are freed, he said, there'll be no schools or prisons, no parliaments or leaders to coerce us with their laws, no property, no money to raise false divisions, and there can be an end to the endlessness of wars. and work will be a sharing, and work will be a pleasure when the things we make are born out of beauty and of need in a world made whole. He said we all can be creators, not winners and losers in a game of grab and greed. And some bring the news in a sermon on the mountain, and some bring the news in a blueprint or a bulletin, but I like those who come with the passion of a vision, like a child with a gift, like a friend with a question. William Morris was one, in a story, in a song, in the patterns that he wove, in the colours that he loved, in the hope that he gave, he brought the news from nowhere. He took delight, and he looked with eyes of wonder on the skin and the body and the beauty of the earth. We must cherish the fields and the woods and the rivers, for if we defile our homes, he said, what then will life be worth? And some there were who said he was just another dreamer, but his dreams danced on, though the year has turned to stone, and his dreams shimmer still like the sunlight in winter, for a dream is a door to a world unknown. So honour to the man, and honour to the dreamer, and to all the men and women the history books ignore, who would not turn aside for the bribes and the clamour, but held to the hope in the vision that they saw. And some bring the news in a sermon on the mountain, and some bring the news in a blueprint or a bulletin, but I like those who come with the passion of a vision, like a child with a gift, like a friend with a question. William Morris was one, in a story, in a song, in the patterns that he wove, in the colours that he loved, in the hope that he gave, he brought the news from nowhere. From nowhere.
Thank you, Nancy Kerr. Well, happy birthday, Leon Russellson. Have a great birthday bash. See you next week, folks.
Why does it have to be me? Why can't they just let me be? Why do I have to do things I don't want to do? Why does it have to be me? Each morning I lie in my bed, slippery dreams in my head. I live in a fine fairy castle of stone, all on my own, no one to moan. Then a voice shouts, get up, and it isn't a dream. Hurry up, you're late for school, and wash your face and brush your teeth and lay your fingers clean. And it goes on and on till I'm ready to scream. Why does it have to be me? Why does it have to be me? Why can't they just let me be? Why do I have to do things I don't want to do? Why does it have to be me? Why do I have to eat greens? Cabbage and spinach and beans. I don't mind potatoes, I'll even have meat, though I'd much rather eat ice cream and sweets. They say greens are good for me, maybe they're right, but sometimes I think that they do it for spite, and I've never seen them eating or what they don't like. So why does it have to be me? Why does it have to be me? Why can't they just let me be? Why do I have to do things I don't want to do? Why does it have to be me? Now why can't I play my own games? Somebody always complains.
whenever I'm playing at monsters or bears, jumping off chairs, falling downstairs. It's don't be so noisy, or go out and play, or look at a book if you're going to stay. But the problem is they always get in my way. So why does it have to be me? Why does it have to be me? Why can't they just let me be? Why do I have to do things I don't want to do? Why does it have to be me?